Acts chapter 16, and we'll drop down to verse 16 as we begin our lesson today, continuing some of the highlights in Acts. And this has to do with the conversion of the Philippian jailer. And we would be very familiar with that, as we no doubt have heard it if we've been in church for years. You've heard about that wonderful story and that great conversion. But we'll look at it again today and some of the aspects of it as the Lord speaks to our heart as we study the Word of God. This gives us just a little snippet of a drama of conversion, of how somebody got saved and how they came to the Lord, the Philippian jailer. I point out something to you here, that God on this occasion was using human suffering for His glory. And you don't hear Paul or anybody complaining about it. You'll see as we go through it. But at the very beginning, I just want to point that out. Can you imagine Paul making this statement? Well, God, I've tried to live good and tried to do right, and I don't know why I'm going through these troubles. I don't think he would have said that. He may have wondered a little bit from the human side, but we don't see occasions where Paul is down and out and bitter and angry and questions God about why he had physical problems or why he was in jail or why he had the obstacles that he had, even though probably nobody was doing any more for the cause of Christ than Paul in his day. And I just remind all of us of whatever we go through in life, things we don't necessarily want to go through, people are watching our lives to see how we're going to react and whether we're going to still have the sweet Spirit of God in our souls, or we're going to complain or question God or try to be like Job when he started out saying, God, you know, I don't deserve this. I'm a good man. Finally, at the end of the book of Job, Job said, oh God, whatever you want to do is right, and you use it to your glory. And that's the attitude that Paul had. And I would encourage each of us, and I know trials are never easy, and we don't like them, but when we go through some of those things, remember, God can use it. And God allows things to come in our life, not because He hates us, not because He's mad at us necessarily. Now, sometimes it is the chastening hand of God if we're out of His will. But if we're walking in His will and those things happen, we have to remember that God allowed it and God wants to use it somehow for His honor and glory, and will if we will let Him. And in this case, the predicament that Paul was in and Silas, as it turned out, was a benefit for a man who needed Christ. And he probably wouldn't have come to Christ had they not been in this situation. Let's look at the imprisonment of Paul and Silas in these first few verses. Verses 16 through 18 tells us about the casting out of the demon. Now let me just remind all of us that demons are real. There's one devil, one. I know some of you thought you'd met a few others, but there's one. One devil, but there are a lot of demons. And you remember there was a rebellion in heaven, and God cast out a third of the angels from heaven. And there's some debate about whether these demons are them or whatever, but suffice it to say, there are spiritual beings that are demons who are empowered by the devil. And sometimes in a person who is unsaved, there's one demon, and sometimes there are a lot of demons. Legion is one was called, and God cast out more than one. And people say, well, why are people so mean now in America? Why do they do these awful things? How can they do those things? The reason is they're controlled by demonic forces and demons that are real. And there are many, many different things that come as a result of the demon work. If you could talk to a lot of missionaries, we had 100 missionaries here in some of the foreign countries, and I could say, come tell us about demonic activity. You would realize it more and understand it. We have been buffered a little bit in our country because we've been a basically Christian nation. But you go to some of these other countries where they're not, and there's a lot of demonic activity in Africa, Brazil. When we were over there in Brazil, we saw a lot of the things that were going on, and they took us by one area in a city park where they burn incense to the devil at night, and they have they say they can see spirits, all kinds of things, and it's sort of a wide open thing, and they do it there. Demons are real, and they do indwell people. Now look at verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, Paul and Silas, where are they going? What are they fixing to do? As we say down south, fixing to do. What are they fixing to do? What are they going to do? They're going to do what? Pray. Did you ever think that the devil fights prayer? You determine that you're going to be a consistent prayer warrior, and you'll be surprised sometimes what the devil brings up at prayer time to try to keep you in telephone, some interference, something breaks, somebody knocks on the door, doorbell rings, something comes up, a neighbor drops by, the house catches on fire, you know, I don't know. The fuse blows. It came to pass as we went to prayer. You see, the devil always opposes spiritual things. And so here's what happens. A certain, not just anyone, but a certain damsel, possessed, controlled with a spirit, that is a demon, a spiritual being, a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much money, much gain by soothsaying. They were going to prayer, and here comes this damsel who is possessed with an evil spirit and begins to give them a hard time, and the devil begins to fight them. She was very much like we would call a fortune teller today. Now, we have some folks that we support, and they used to be gypsies and fortune tellers. They've been here. I asked his wife once, I said, tell me, when you were a fortune teller, did you get any power from Satan, or how did you do it? She said, well, I really didn't try to do that. I was a little afraid of all of that. She said, now, I know some that did and that were connected with evil spirits, and they got their information from those evil spirits. But she said, they're just a certain routine that I go through, things I say, I know, sort of like Gene Dixon does, and it's so generalized that you can hit the thing anytime in the horoscope and all that. And she said, that was more of what I used, but she said, believe me, there are demons that are involved in fortune telling. Now, I say this, no Christian needs to go to a fortune teller to get any kind of information. You say, why would you say that? Well, I have talked to people who, when their loved one passed away later, went to a fortune teller to try to get into communication with their dead loved ones. That is very dangerous, my dear friend. And you open yourself up to a lot of activity of demons. Not that they can control you against your will, but if you allow that, there can be some problems. And we know there are examples of that in the Bible. We should not do that. It is real. It's not a joke. It actually takes place. I was talking to a friend about someone that was murdered in Connersville, Indiana, a young lady. And the thing was sort of covered up. And I remember visiting a guy that, this was a different situation, and I visited him in jail. He was a relative of a member of my church, and I visited him in jail. And we were talking, and I was asking him about this girl being murdered, and he told me he knew where she was and where she was buried, and gave me a little description of the place. And so he was sort of running with that crowd. And I was advised to sort of back out of it, so I backed out of it because there was a whole lot going on, and I didn't want my family in jeopardy. But anyway, as we were discussing and recalling that, I said, whatever happened in that situation? And he said that the policeman brought in two of these kinds of people. They don't call them that now. They call them psychics. They're the same thing. Amen?
Yes.
If you don't know that yet, you need to learn that. Psychics and fortune tellers and soothsayers and witchcraft all go together. And these psychics, though, have power. And he said that these psychics, one of them wasn't very good at it, but another one was, and they took the authorities to the place that rumored where she had been murdered. A doctor had a big party out there and so on and so forth, and evidently she was pregnant, and her daddy didn't want anybody to know it. And so, anyway, they led these authorities out there to where they had built a new barn after that, and she said she's buried under the concrete. Well, that sort of added up a little bit, and I don't remember all the details, but just a little bit to what the guy told me back in jail. But my point is this, not to get you interested in all of that, but my point is to point out to you that they are real, and this woman was actually possessed with a evil spirit, and she had the ability of divination. Christians should stay totally, completely away from that. She was like a little slave girl who was controlled by the devil and by those that were called her masters. So she was owned by them, but she had this power to do these things. And that was something that could be done, predicting the future and all of that. All we need to know about the future, beloved, is what the Bible says.
Amen.
And that's sufficient. You don't need to go to anybody else. You don't need to contact your loved ones through that. But let me point out something, too, as I'm talking about the devil fighting. The devil never quits. He never quits. Whether you're going to prayer, as was Paul and Silas, he never quits. He never lets up. In our lives, he always, always opposes good. And he is our enemy. And let me tell you something else. Just when you think he's not going to attack you, watch out. You say, well, I've arrived. I've come to the place. I won't have any more problems. I'm so spiritually mature, and the devil's not going to bother me anymore. Oh, watch out, my beloved friend. He never quits. I don't care how long you've been saved. He never quits. He is the enemy. And we see that in that one verse as to what was going on. Now, Paul and Silas, I believe, were certainly anointed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, the same, this damsel, followed Paul and us, those who were following him and Silas, and cried, she was crying out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Isn't that strange? You know, the devil knows who God is. And the demons of hell know who God is. When Jesus cast them out, they said, "If you come to punish us before our time," they knew who he was. They knew who Jesus was. But she was following them in. Verse 18, "And this did she many days," just perpetually doing that. "But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." Now, let me say that Paul was an apostle, and Paul had the ability and the powers to do certain things in the apostolic age. I still believe that demons can be cast out of people. I don't think that we need to get overly involved in that. I know a man that got a set of tapes from me that Curtis Hudson had tape years ago about demonology, and he got intrigued with it, and he almost quit everything in the church and was running around everywhere trying to cast out demons. We need to be careful with that. And there is no real such thing in the Bible taught like the Catholics use. You know, there was a great movie a while back, sometime back, and then they sort of revived that, and it was all about casting exorcising demons. I don't want to get into all of that, but let me just say that the practice in the Roman Catholic Church of exorcising demons is not biblical. And there's just a whole lot more to be said about that, but that's not the main part of the Sunday school lesson today. But Paul cast the demon out. The demon and the men working with her were in charge of all of that. And Paul and Silas then are accused of doing a wrong thing. They are arrested and they are placed in jail. It was all right for people to practice their religion then, but they couldn't propagate the religion. They couldn't go out and do what might be called proselyting or doing some of those things according to Roman law. You say, boy, that was the ancient days, and man, they were in the backwoods. I'm telling you, it's back today. We're facing it now. We're facing it in our country, where you can't stand on the street corner and pass out tracts. If you preach, one of these days you're going to see it, I'm convinced, if Christ doesn't come, where we're going to be so limited in the matter of soul winning and witnessing and doing those things. And there's always a lot of that. And the Christian Law Association, Dr. David Gibbs, they face some of this. And you read about some of the unbelievable situations that people get into because our country has gotten so far away from God. And I personally think that's one reason God is chastising America, as much as I love America. But the devil is going to oppose any movement that threatens his operation. He doesn't like it when we get into his cabbage patch. He doesn't like it when we get into his field. And so that's what he was doing here. He influences a lot of evil people to cause chaos and problems for Christianity. And my goodness, we've got a bunch of them now. The liberal media, the liberal politicians all throughout our country, the liberal educators, not all educators are liberal, but there are many, the National Education Association, so on and so forth, all of these things, they just have a fit when they try to teach creation in the schools to give it the other side compared to evolution. They don't like that. Satan influences evil persons to do evil. And the Holy Spirit, thank God, influences good people to do good. And that's what he was influencing Paul to do on this occasion. Remember, the devil is powerful in his operation. He is our number one enemy. He is the god of this world system today because God allows him to be that. But he can be defeated in our lives by the word of God and prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember always that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We know that. We know what 1 John 4:4 tells us. So we don't have to worry about it. But this is what was taking place here. And the men got upset, verse 19, when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone. Isn't that the most compelling force in our society today? Seems like whatever I compromise, I'll do anything to make money, to get rich, to be able to have all of my tinker toys and so on and so forth. When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. They could do that. They had the right to do that, in a sense. And they brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Well, any time a great man of God has gone into a city and preached the gospel and folks have been saved, all the enemies were after his hide. Yes. And for whatever you may think of Dr. J. Frank Norris, he shook this city years ago. And the people hated him, and that's why they sent a guy up to tell him they were going to kill him, and why he did what he did, and what he thought was self-defense. But that always goes with it. And they brought them to the magistrates, and they said they're doing breaking the law, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates, the officials, rent off their clothes. They tore their clothes off of them. That'd be humiliating, wouldn't it? Why was this happening to them? Why were they being treated like this? Why were they being humiliated in the public square? Because they loved Jesus and they were just doing what was right. And we need to be willing to take that. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You mark it down, the world does not like us. They are very uncomfortable when we're around. Your kinfolks, some of our kinfolks are very uncomfortable the other day. And I like the way my wife preached a little message in a video that they taped of her. She got it in there. And of course, they always call on the preacher to pray. And her brother's a preacher and I'm a preacher. And we do a little meddling while we're praying. But at any rate, for the most part, they're all Christians. Thank God for that. But, you know, always there are a few that are not. But anyway, they didn't like it. These men were not making money. That was their whole issue. They probably could have cared less about what happened spiritually. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, I don't know if we get that sometimes. I don't know if we get that. I think we just read that and pass over. Well, Paul got whipped. No, friend, they tore their clothes off and they beat them. And God had it put in here to remind us that there's a price. And if we have to pay that price, pay that price. Just to serve the Lord. When they'd laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, threw them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now that's Paul and Silas in prison. They had been stripped. They had been beaten. They were thrown in the prison and they were placed in stocks, all because they were living for Jesus. If you're persecuted and have problems, it doesn't mean God's mad at you. It just may mean he wants to use it. Now, we see the conversion of the Philippian jailer in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They didn't gripe or complain or question God or take a negative attitude about it. They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They said, man, that's strange. I have an idea. That's sort of what they said. Great day. Here we. These guys have been humiliated. They've been beaten. They've been thrown in prison. It's midnight, and they're singing? What kind of weirdos are these? They're spirit-controlled, spirit-filled weirdos. That's what they were. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. See, God controls everything. So that the foundation of the prison, the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loosed. That's our God, folks. That's our God. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, I guess that'd wake anybody up probably, and seeing the prison doors open, he said, I'm in trouble. This should not happen on my watch. And he knew that he was going to have to go to prison or die himself, probably die. And he thought, well, I'll just help out. I'll just get this over with now and save some time. He drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice. See, Paul, most of us Baptists would say, go ahead, dude, that's what you get for throwing me in prison. I want to watch you bleed, die. But Paul didn't do that, did he? Paul cried with a loud voice saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. He said, hold it. We hadn't gone anywhere. We're still here. And he's probably thinking, what? All the doors open, all this, and you're still here? Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, I reckon so, and fell down before Paul and Silas. You see, if we have a victorious spirit and a song in our heart during trials, there are going to be some people come to us. Say, I need help. Then he called for the light and did that, and then brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Tell me how to be saved. And they said, and notice it isn't complicated. They said, well, you come down to the church and we'll put you through a catechism, about 13 weeks. And after that, we'll talk to you and have a little meeting with you, and then we'll sprinkle you, and we'll pour some water over your head and whatever, and then maybe you can be saved. No, they said, here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you know God wants everybody to be saved, and thy house. Amen. Now they had to believe too. Don't misunderstand. There's no such thing as daddy believes and everybody's saved because daddy believed. But if daddy believes and God is working the Holy Spirit and he tells his family and they see that, then there's going to be a change and they believe. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house they told all of them the same thing. They told him, they told them. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. You see that the man already had a change in his life? Why, he didn't wash the stripes of the prisoners before this. But now God's already done a work. He's repented, he's changed, and here he is washing their stripes. And he was baptized, following the Lord. They evidently told him that was important. And it is for fellowship with the Lord after you're saved, and obedience. And he baptized all of his right away, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You remember when you got saved? Do you remember who you were and what took place? Wasn't it great? Wasn't the rejoicing great? I remember when I got saved. Man, I was 9 years old and a load left me. I don't have to explain it to you that are saved, because you understand that. What a load left. A load of guilt, even as a 9-year-old boy. And you know what it was when you got saved, how that rejoicing came in your soul. And I remember going to the elementary school and I was whistling a song, I can't remember exactly, Power in the Blood, I believe it was, and I went in a restroom in elementary school. I was just whistling away, and this other boy in there said, you seem happy. And I said, well, I am. I said, I just got saved last night. And he said, well, I'm saved too. And we just got talking about 9-year-old boys in a restroom in elementary school. But I knew that something had changed in my heart. And so he said, and see, you can tell he was a Baptist too. Right away, what'd they do? He said, come on, let's eat. God be with you till we eat again. And he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. Well, when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. But Paul said, wait a minute. I'm a citizen. I'm a Roman citizen. You're not going to get away that easy. Here's the lesson in that. We should take every legal right that we have in our citizenship to fight the devil, and not be cowards and hide in the corner. Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? No, he said, nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. He said, you go tell them they have mistreated us, and I'm a Roman citizen, tell them to come get us. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates. Remember, they're the ones that beat him. And they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia, that convert. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Isn't that a good story? It's a real story. God was on the throne. Paul and Silas did what was right. The devil was fighting. They did the right thing. Gave God the glory. Sang praise in the midst of trial. And the end result was a man and his wife and whole family got saved. They got out of prison. And they were happily carrying on ever after. Amen. Thank God for the word of God. Father, thank you that we see an encouragement to us to take a stand in any age for you and in any circumstance. And we're to be reminded that we're going to be fought by the devil. He's going to try to destroy what we're trying to do. But God, help us to maintain a sweet spirit and a victorious heart so that we can have a song in our heart and a song upon our lips. And as others watch us go through whatever it may be, mistreatment, persecution, trials, we might give glory to you that others might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.